Welcome back. We're having cheesecake in here.
I'm so jealous.
We are. All, I know. Yeah. See. Yeah. See. But you've had cheese. Don't know. Stop it. You're too busy to be in here. Candace Jordan is, as I've said it before, the hardest working woman in Chicago journalism because she is out covering basically everything. And basically, your beat, Candace, and one of the reasons I think it's an incredibly valuable beat is it's just you cover good things. You don't make up good things. There are enough good things out there happening for you to cover.
You are absolutely right. And I have a focus on nonprofit events, which really is something very special, obviously. But, you know, I cover anything that's exciting and important, and I do it just so you don't have to go, Rick. So I can write about it, and you can read it from your comfort of your armchair.
Armchair. Well, that's another thing. It's another thing I don't have.
Rocking chair. Yeah, I don't know what.
My rocking chair. In doing this, Candace, I mean, if you've obviously the last, let's say, 3 years have been difficult years in many ways. That some places stopped doing things. Some mm-hmm. people do not like to go out after dark in the city anymore. I find that to be a tragic kind of thing. But mm-hmm. but the world of the philanthropic and not-for-profit is still very healthy in Chicago, is it not?
It's exploding. That's the word I would use. It's been busier than ever. The start off of the summer, I mean, I've got like 10 events lined up in front of me to talk to you about. I know we're not going to get to them all, but I mean, it's like one after another every night. It seems like people, you know, they're busting out of their cells.
Yeah,
they want to get out. They want to be with other people. And granted, there is that fear of after dark with crime, you know, high here. But it doesn't seem to stop the places, the people that go to the places and events that I cover. So I'm so happy to see that.
Talk to me about this Sundance thing, this Sundance flirtation Chicago is having with that famous film festival.
I think it's really good for Chicago. They celebrated their opening night on Friday, June 28th. And, you know, Jonas Sigler, who is the department commissioner of the Chicago Film Office, this is how this happened. He found out that they were looking for locations to host, you know, like a collaboration with the Sundance Institute. Mm-hmm. So he met with their CEO. He sent an email. He made a paragraph pitch, and they got right back to him. And Chicago is now the first city in the U.S. to have this sort of partnership with Sundance. And it's a one-year contract right now, but the organizers, they seem pretty positive that it might return. And I'm telling you, it wasn't a big event, quite frankly. I was kind of surprised at that. I thought it would be a lot bigger than it was. It was held in Hyde Park at the study. But it was sold out, and, you know, all the important people involved from DCase, and the mayor was there on his anniversary night. It's in collaboration with Choose Chicago and DCase and, of course, Sundance Chicago.
Hmm.
And so they had this reception where the speaker spoke about, you know, how happy they are to have this here. And it was over the weekend, and so they premiered, debuted four films, and they went through 15,000 movies to narrow it down to these just four films.
Wow.
And it was unbelievable. And let me tell you something. This opening night film that they debuted, it's called Luther Never Too Much, and it's about the cradle to grave story of singer-songwriter Luther Vandross.
Sure.
Yes, and it was created and directed by Dawn Porter, who is a New York City native but now is, of course, madly in love with Chicago. But the movie, if this comes out, which I'm sure it will in broader
distribution,
production, it is going to be absolutely a blockbuster. It's a long movie. It was over 2 hours, but I am telling you, you couldn't tear your eyes from the screen. They had unbeforeseen archival footage of him and his performances and how he, you know, managed the group. And, you know, I mean, he was just an unbelievable human being.
Mm.
Yeah, it was super interesting. So that was something to see, and I was really happy. At first, I was a little hesitant because, you know, we already have 50 film festivals in Chicago.
No, that is a fact. This is a film festival town. Do you think?
Yeah, right.
Do you think
a film festival. This was just the reception, the opening night reception, and
right.
the film, but it is focused on these four films that was shown, you know, across the weekend.
Do you think this is a serious flirtation? Do you think the city or whoever would be in charge of grasping Sundance would be eager to have it here? Because Sundance is a big film festival. Sundance would necessarily kind of bigfoot many of the film festivals we have here. Do you think?
Exactly. And, you know, the mayor made it a point to say, you know, even though this was, and he said it on stage, he says, even though this was a great opportunity for us, I want everybody to know that, you know, for our film festivals across the city, that this will not change our focus in the neighborhoods and providing opportunities for local filmmakers. So he made a big deal out of that. But I will tell you that the person I spoke to said that they did pitch to get the real Sundance Film Festival here in 2027, but they pulled out after realizing they had so much on their plate already with NASCAR and, you know, these film festivals I just mentioned, and so they kind of let it pass. But it is definitely on their radar, and, you know, I think there's, you know, since they already have the synergy with the Institute, I don't see why great things won't happen between them in Chicago.
I'm not a big fan of more is better, but in this case, I like movies. What can I tell you?
I love movies too, and I don't think you can see enough of them. So,
what is this, Candace? What is this Illuminarium at Navy Pier? One of the great things about following Candace Jordan, which you can do at candidcandace.com, is you'll get a little more in depth than you do by watching the 35 seconds on the evening news.
Thank you.
No, there's no question about it. I saw this thing, you know, I saw it in passing on some evening news show and thought, what the hell is this? And because there's not enough time to explain it. What is it, Candace?
Well, it's very different. It's in the old space where the Crystal Gardens used to be at Navy Pier.
Sure.
You know, it's on the second level, and it's an 8,000 square foot space, and they call it a cinematic 360 degree immersion. And, you know, it reminded me at first when you entered, because it's like the little curtains and you go around a curtain into this massive space. But, you know, when the old time town circuses would come to town and you would pay a quarter and you didn't know what you were going to see, but you were, you know, excited because it was something new and different. This has kind of reminded me of that. And then once you go in, there's this massive wraparound immersive experience of places like the African safari, where the elephants and giraffes and lions are all like right in your face. You can see down the tonsils of some of these animals. I mean, that's how close it is, and you feel like you're right on the savannah. And they also do a recreation of NASA's moon landing, where you actually feel like you're going up in a rocket, because the sensation they show, you know, from inside the rocket perspective, and then you see the asteroids and the moon, and you know, for kids, I can see that this will really be something special.
And is it a permanent installation at Navy Pier?
Well, right now they have no end date on it, and also they're going to be tweaking it. I mean, they were still tweaking it when, you know, the opening night for the event.
Mm-hmm.
So they plan on putting a lot more bells and whistles on it, you know, adding other experiences, like an icons, rock and roll icons experience. And they already have them in Atlanta, Las Vegas, Toronto, and Macau, China. But it's really different, and they spent a lot of money putting this together. When they went to Africa to film these sequences, they spent about $15 million on it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That is a lot of money, Candace Jordan.
Yeah.
Listen,
and,
when
you know,
did you
start like at $25?
Well, I'm not supposing that Mick Jagger went to see that, but you have some... The Rolling Stones were in town this weekend, ladies and gentlemen.
And a friend of yours, I understand, went and absolutely loved it.
Yes.
And you've been like a dozen times to see the Rolling Stones, right?
Yes, I've seen the Rolling Stones about five times, and never thought I would even be tempted to go see Mick Jagger and Keith Richard, 80 years old. But I'm curious, what do these guys do?
Well,
when they're not, what are they don't go to the Illuminarium, I'm assuming.
Here's my celeb sighting story.
Okay.
So I was at RL Restaurant with girlfriends, and across the table from us was Ronnie Wood, you know, the drummer from the Rolling Stones. He was there with his family. He's got three little bitty kids.
Really?
And a nanny, and his wife was there with him. And you know what struck me is that he's a lot shorter than you think he is. I mean, I was quite frankly a little disappointed because his bio says he's like 5'9".
Yeah.
And if he's 5'9", I'm 6'7". So, I mean, and he is old. I mean, they are older people.
Yes,
and,
they are. Yes, indeed they are. But did he
see... You know, when you see him out of their element and not on stage with all the bells and whistles and the lights and this and that and everything else, and just, you know, next sitting at the table next to you like an ordinary person, a little bit of the magic wears off.
Did he see... Well, did he seem to be having fun?
Yeah, he seemed to have a nice time. He was interacting with his kids, which I liked. And, you know, the wife paid the bill. He left. And I'm sure they were staying at the Peninsula because he came in through the back door, which they have an underground tunnel from the Peninsula to the RL restaurant. So, yeah. But that was interesting to see him. I mean, you know, he's a legend. You got to give him that.
That's true. That is true. let's take a break, Candace, and come back and talk about a couple other things.
Great.
Because
you are
my event person of all time.
Thank you.
I'm
going to
talk about the bear. The bear.
I have my opinion
of the bear. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Candace Jordan, hardest working woman in journalism in Chicago, is giving us tips on like where Ronnie Wood goes to eat with his kids. And I think you're right.
Kind of stuff you have to know.
It is fascinating. I want to know. I don't know. I literally am very curious about what Mick Jagger was up to. They were here Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they end their stay here with a concert tonight that starts in about an hour. You know, because I know where they used to go. They used to go, you know, down south, man, play with Buddy Guy and Muddy Waters.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly. So, well, yeah, it would be interesting to know, but he was at the RL restaurant. Kudos for them.
And kudos for you for being there. You weren't just camped out and say, hey, let me know if any Rolling Stones come in here.
No, but a lot of people are camped out at the Peninsula out front. Oh, my goodness, you can't believe it.
I'll bet, just to get a look at Mick, an 80-year-old rock and roller. The Bear is back on TV. It's totally streamable, the entire third season. I have my opinion so far of it. But it was really nice to see Chris Duffy. I've known Chris for a while. He's a great chef. He runs a restaurant called Ever. And he's not a star of the show. He could be. I think Chris has got real star quality, don't you?
Curtis
Duffy. Sorry.
Yes. And, you know, his restaurant Ever is truly the star in season 3 in the finale because, and I'm not going to say anything because if you haven't seen it, I don't want to give it away, but the press agent, their press agent for Ever Restaurant, contacted me and they asked if I wanted to come in and cook with the chef. You know, it's kind of a little promo leading up to the release of the third season of The Bear. And of course, I love Curtis. I've known him for a long, long time. I've interviewed him many times. And so I jumped at the opportunity. And, you know, and I'd never been to Ever Restaurant, so shame on me. But I don't know if you've been. Have you been to his restaurant?
No, I went to his old restaurants long ago.
Well, he's been with many. I mean, he was with Peninsula, Olivia, and... But this restaurant, I mean, first of all, besides the menu and, I mean, the beauty of this place, I mean, it's minimalistic, but it's absolutely done to perfection. I mean, it is an experience that's, you know, it's so worth going and tasting these dishes. But, you know, I'm not a cook, first of all. I mean, my meals are extremely simple, Rick, as you can well imagine. So when I go in here... And he says, Candace, we're going to make my English pea entrees, and there's 13 ingredients in it.
And you said, Curtis, let me make some toast. I'm really good at making toast.
Yes.
I think I can make some toast.
Yeah, they have orange blossom floral cream, and I mean, it was just things I've never, ever heard of, black garlic puree. And so anyway, I'm in there doing the best I can with it. And, you know, he's just such a meticulous person, as you can imagine. I mean, and he was placing these tiny, tiny little flowers on this dish with tweezers. And so I tried to emulate, of course, his moves, but my dish, you know, was obviously unservable. But, I mean, I was just so impressed because he's got a garden on the rooftop of the restaurant, so all these ingredients
That? Where is that restaurant?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that because I don't have the address.
No,
it's in Fulton Market.
Oh, okay.
Fulton Market. And I mean, it's a very unimposing place. I mean, you wouldn't even know where the door was if you didn't know exactly where you were going. I mean,
interesting.
Yeah, but it was so beautiful. Of course, and they have a after cocktail lounge. So he's got the Ever restaurant and the After lounge, which is equally spectacularly gorgeous. And there I helped one of their bartenders make some drinks. And you know that my only drink that I make is pour wine and open a beer. So,
you must have been very good. They must have wanted to hire you.
Oh, that's what I said. Aren't you lucky I don't work here? But it was really a wonderful experience. And I'm thrilled, you know, not only for Curtis, but for Chicago, because I think that the Bear really spotlights the city and its dining scene in such a grand way. And it includes, you know, they've been at LaSalle Flower Shop. They've been at Lou Mitchell's. You know, everywhere, all over the city. And so I think it's just so fabulous for our city to have this.
Have you watched the entire season 3?
No, I have not.
Okay,
don't tell me anything about it.
No, I won't tell. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. Except they may.
Here's the address forever. Wait, it's 1340 West Fulton. So.
Gotcha. Well, Fulton
it's
Market.
Wonderful. Anyway, no, I have not seen. I've seen a couple of series of the episodes, but I have not been following it. So,
well,
have you watched the entire series?
Maybe you need, not all, but enough.
You said it like what? Don't you like the show?
No. I did.
Why don't you like it?
I think nothing is happening in the show. I think there's no narrative. I don't know what it's like. Okay.
Oh, I've heard that from other people, too.
What do you mean? Yeah. I thought, wait, I'm a critic. This is crazy. Where do you hear that from? Maybe you should go out and get the Chicago Chef's Cookbook. What is that?
Oh, listen, isn't that unbelievable? Well, I told you a little bit about this in an email, but I'm so excited about this. Mariano's, in conjunction with Chicago Chef's Cook, which is like a humanitarian relief group.
That's nice.
You know, those in need. They went to the Ukraine to cook. They collaborated on this cookbook to help raise money for Shy Care. This is a local nonprofit that works to end hunger in our city, and they're selling it now in all 44 Mariano stores. It's only $9.99.
Wow.
And you get 46 chef recipes, and it's just so easy to purchase one of these and help, you know, Chicago and help this group end hunger. And it was such a great idea. They've got all the chefs on the cover of the cookbook and little postage stamp size things, and Amanda Puck, you know, heading this up, and she's the one that brought it to my attention, and I love her so much. You know Amanda Park.
Sure.
And anyway, she's a part of this, and they just had a launch party not long ago this past weekend, and so it's available now in all the Mariano stores, and I think it's a must-buy.
Are there any recipes in there that you think you could tackle?
Well, you know, I was told that they have from, you know, easy to hard, something for everybody. So at that, I thought that I could probably pick one up and find something I could prepare.
Maybe the next one will have in there Candace Jordan's toast. Even I can.
Hey, listen, I
could make toast.
I have had a recipe in a cookbook.
You did?
Do you remember Ann Gerber, of course?
Of course.
Well, she had an Ann Gerber's Celebrity Cookbook is what the name of it was. And I gave her my recipe. Well, actually, not my recipe, but a recipe for sweet potato pie.
And where did you get a recipe for sweet
it
potato
was from
pie?
My mama, Mary Johnson, who raised me since I was little. And it was her recipe. And I named it Mama Mary Johnson's Sweet Potato Pie.
Do you make it now for Chuck, your husband?
Oh, from time to time, sure. Yeah. I use a lot of her recipes. She was a fabulous cook and human being.
Well, you will be on again. You're going to be a regular guest for the rest of my radio career. Finally, one of your great causes, a cause you really love, is Paws.
Oh, you know I do love Paws. I love them so much. Listen, do you know this? Listen to this. I just heard this statistic. Since they were founded in 1997, they have had over 80,000 adoptions.
No.
Yeah, isn't that unbelievable? Since its founding, the pet euthanized in Chicago has been reduced by 93%.
That's good to hear. That 80,000 number sounds amazing to me.
Huge. It sounds huge. Well, one of them's ours. You know, we have little Penny.
Yeah, I know.
We just got her. But, you know, they're going to have their annual beach party, which is always fun, and it's going to be at offshore at Navy Pier on Thursday, July 25th. And it's it is so much fun because you can bring your pet. They dress these little dogs up in Hawaiian luau outfits. I mean, you've never seen. It's the cutest things on the planet. And they're going to honor.
Hold on. What kind of people dress up their dogs in Hawaiian luau outfits?
I dress up my dog.
You do?
Don't you dress up your cat?
No. I don't. I've had many dogs, and I would never dress one of my dogs in a Hawaiian shirt. But I guess maybe some dogs like that.
Listen, I did see your cat in a little witch's hat.
A little witch's
just
hat?
I want you to know. And a little witch's hat. And I believe it was on a Halloween card, but that's all I'm going to say.
Well, don't give away. What are you giving away? Okay, what does Mick Jagger have on his Halloween card?
Well, I don't know. He didn't send me one this year. But anyway, so, you know, for this event, they're going to present the first Community Engagement Award, and I am excited and very honored to say that I'm one of the recipients.
Oh, that's great.
Along with Bill Jacobs, who's the owner of Peace Pizzeria and Brewery. So it'll be a special day for me and these little pets.
Are you home tonight, or do you have to go meet Keith Richard for cocktails somewhere after the show?
No. I'm home tonight.
That's something.
Yes, I'm home. You know, writing all my stuff. I mean, putting it all down on pen to paper, and so
you are,
it's a lot to think about.
You are a force of nature, Candace Jordan.
No, I love it. And listen, I was so happy that I know you weren't able to attend, but the Chicago Star Media celebrated their fourth anniversary.
Yeah.
And yes, they had a massive, beautiful Eli's cheesecake. So,
well, we used to have one in here, and we've eaten the whole thing. So that's what Eli's cheesecakes were meant to be consumed by hungry people. Candace, it's always.
You know, I'm surprised you don't have them on every day.
Why? What are cheap?
Well, they can bring their cheesecake.
You want to know something? You want to know something very secret? I don't have a show every day, so once
well,
a week
let's say
is
you
great
should.
For me. You'll be on again, Candace. Thank you for
sharing
all this stuff about the summer. Thank you.
Okay.